Blog Talk Radio.
Conviction to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
What's up, everybody? I'm sorry a little late. Had a little computer glitches. But you got Stephen L. Bobo, Bozilla, if you will. Here on today, if you're not here already, is Mr. Danny Kilgore. And I can say it like this, and our new representative of the great state of Ohio, I'm going to talk that into existence. I pray that my man gets in because I, you know, Bozilla rolls the winners. And this is going to be a winner, trust me. Hopefully he's on, and if he's there, I hope he comes on in. But right now, guys, I want to say if you guys are going to ask questions, we are going to open up the phone lines, and it's going to be a real quick question. He can answer if he wants to. Second of all, please no profanity. Please no degrading people's questions and people's places who they people they vote for, because that's not what I'm about. I'm about who's going to be best for this country and best for this state. And then Mr. Kilgore is on. I want him to come on in and say something to everybody. And I am endorsing this man right now. Bozilla team is wants this man to go as far as he can go. I'm endorsing him because I feel I've heard some of his words. We've had conversations before. And he does talk for the people. And Mr. Kilgore, if you're on. Okay, when he comes, I'll keep on talking until he comes on. But I want everybody to say congrats. Hope everybody had a great weekend. This is the last day. I hope you guys remember to set your time back or set your time up because or back. I can't remember what it is, but set your time up or back because I don't want you guys to be late for tomorrow for work or whatever you have planned for tomorrow. I want to say God bless everybody and hope everybody has done what they're supposed to do to be great. That's what I'm all about is encouragement and let people know that you can be great. You are a winner. You're not a loser. You can do anything that you put your mind to, and especially for the people who are behind the walls. You know, that's what I talk about. The people behind the walls and the children who are behind the walls are children of the people who are behind the walls, because that's the main thing of the focus I do is the pipeline kids. You hear me preach that every time I'm on here, and I'm always going to keep preaching it because that needs to be heard. You guys need to understand these kids need people too. And our families, the families need people to help. I don't ask for money because that's not, I don't think that's a great thing to do because all of us are struggling somewhere. And somewhere in this country, we're all struggling. But just a prayer, or if you guys do want to throw a couple dollars in somewhere, but it's for these kids. And so I say my money I raised for my book is going to go for these kids. Of course, my ghostwriter is going to have a little, I'm going to give her a little something because she did take the time out of her visual schedule to help me write this book. And she is going to be the one that's going to get the money, some of the money. But most of, like I said, most of the money I get is going right back into the pipeline for these kids because that's what this is for. I want you to check out my other groups I have in Uganda and Africa. I have a group there, a prison pipeline group in Africa now. Okay, guys, Danny is on. Danny, I'm sorry, Vic. I didn't know you was on yet, but come on in and welcome back to the show, man. And I wish you all the luck on this election coming up, because I just announced you as the new champion of the world right now. So I'm dedicating this to you because you deserve that, because you do what you're supposed to do. So, brother, go ahead and say what you want to say. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on. I was just listening to your guys' conversation. So I think I came in like halfway in the middle of it. But it's been a lot been going on here lately. Thank you for your support, and also to all the people out there, too, that listen. Like, they say it takes a village to raise a child. But at this point in time, the only way we're going to fix things if we get the village to help in. So for too long, it's been like the super wealthy have been dictating everyone's lives. Well, we got to take charge back of our own life now, because those millionaires and those billionaires, they don't care and they never seem to care. So if we want to fix things the way they should be fixed, we got to do it ourselves now. And that's basically what I'm trying to do, because, like, I've had to do a lot of stuff myself, so haven't really had anybody to, like, really rely on to help me get through, like, some difficult times. Never had that silver spoon or that golden spoon. Work two jobs and still struggle, and yet you got some CEOs that are making $185,000 a day. Like, what kind of job pays you that kind of money a day? So there's just a lot.
I agree with you 100% with that one, man. I agree 100% with you with that. I said that 1% is never going to have what it takes to be acknowledged in this country, that 1%. Because I'm a 1%er. I already know that. One day I will probably or would like to be is a 2%, but 1% will never, ever be seen. That's why it takes for people like yourself and all the people that listen to our shows to come together and make sure the people like you get in there to make that change, because it's never going to happen if we keep on voting in the same people. Things are never going to get better. It's just going to get worse. Yeah. You know, that's how I feel about it. That's my political stance on that, because the people in 1% is always going to, like you just said, is always have control of everything. And it's not fair to the people who work every day. Like, I look at my friend who has a child right now who has autism, and she works every day. Skin, wet her skin off her fingers, working so hard. But yet, she can't get ahead, because the people in her life, like the father of her child, don't want to stand up and do what he's supposed to do as a father. But I'm not going to go, it's not a bashing of a man thing, but I just want to understand that these women, I say women, because most of them are the ones who are out there raising these children by themselves, need the help. And there are men out there who work every day, and they still can't get ahead. And it's hard. And I know for a fact that what conversations we've had, that's what you stand for, and that's what you talk about. And that's why I endorse you, because, man, you get it. And that's why I said we need people like that who get it in an office. I'm sorry, I didn't cut you off like that. Go ahead, man. I apologize.
Oh, you're fine. I've been trying to talk about those things, and there have been times where, like, me and my one Democratic primary challenger, we've been in a room together, and I've been talking about more of the dinner table issues and hammering on, like, nowhere in America should you have to work two or three jobs and still have to wonder about, how am I going to buy groceries? How am I going to help my kid through school? Those types of things. And also, we shouldn't be having those conversations of, I work two jobs. I am rationing my insulin and hoping I don't die. We should be hearing those things in the United States. Oh. And all we hear from other people is, like, do you have political experience? Can you raise $300,000 from your friends and family? Do you have a law degree? And I'm like, there's so much more out there that needs to be talked about. I'm like, when you go and you talk to a voter, they're more interested in how you're going to help them instead of talking about your resume. Yeah, your resume sounds good and all, but when it comes down to it, they want someone that understands them, that's willing to do what it takes for them.
That's true.
Anytime someone runs for office anymore, you're a billionaire, a millionaire, or a lawyer, or a career politician.
Right.
Like, people are billionaires, and lawyers, and career politicians, kind of how we wound up with Trump. They wanted someone that was that. And
Mr. B, I have a question. Mr. B, I have a question.
Go with it.
Yep.
Hey, Danny. Great name, by the way. By the way, my name is Danny.
Well, hello.
I'm also the producer of Blog Talk, and I just want to know, like, what your political stance will be. Like, what are the issues that are top on your laundry list of things to get done?
Well, it's a very long laundry list.
give me your top five.
So five. Well, I think the first one is to actually make a second Bill of Rights, like an economic Bill of Rights that Franklin Roosevelt talked about in 1944, which in that he discussed about a living wage, the right to own a home, a good education, a good healthcare system, and protections for the environment. That
so
Bill of Rights
right less, there less is legal like and more human six, rights.
Yeah. So that's one big chunk that I would love to see get done, because those are things that we desperately need. We also need to fix our nation's crumbling infrastructure. And we also got to fight this climate crisis head on. Those things have to get fixed immediately. Like our infrastructure system, our interstate system was designed during the Eisenhower administration, along with our power grid was expanded then. Since then, the U.S. population has tripled, and there really haven't been any adequate updates or expansions to our system. That's why you remember in the summer of like the early 2000s when that was the blackout, where the power went out for like a chunk of the country?
Yes.
That is why our power grid is out of date. We need to update it. We need to break our dependency off of coal. We need to go into more renewable energies. We can power stuff with solar power and wind power, and you can store it in a battery. You don't have to use it all now. But with coal, you have to burn it in order to use it. There's no like backup system. With solar and wind, you do have that backup option. So we need to upgrade our power grid. We need to upgrade our interstate highway system and our bridges. Right now, they're projecting it's going to take 80 years just to fix the bridges that need to be fixed in this country. That's not including the bridges that might need repairs in that 80 years. So we got to fix all that. Then we also got to combat the climate change crisis. The United Nations chief scientist said we had 12 years to cut our carbon emissions in order to save the planet. But yet the United States doesn't believe in the science. And if we don't start acting now, New York City, Miami, a good chunk of Florida and New Orleans is going to be under like 33 feet of water. Even the city of Boston is going to be underwater if we don't do something now. So I want to get those things taken care of immediately. And, of course, we also got to tackle our healthcare crisis system that we got going on and also get dark money and big business out of politics to get corruption out of government. Then besides all that, we need to have Donald Trump actually removed from the presidency. Then I think it'll make things a lot easier going forward, at least.
I agree 100% with that one. The question I have, and I'm pretty sure a lot of other people have, what are we going to do about the criminal justice system? You know, I'm going to talk about that, criminal justice system, and the pipeline with our children going to prison. What can we do? And the political aspect, can we do to help these kids to make sure they stay out the pipeline?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that can be done. So as of right now, the United States has the equivalent of an entire nation's population in a prison system. I believe we have all of, like, as a comparison, the nation of Lithuania, and it's in Europe. It's kind of like the northern side by the Arctic Circle. Like, their entire population can fit inside the U.S. prisons. So we need to stop the for-profit prison system because states get fined if they're not at capacity in our jails. We need to get rid of the cash bail system because you're innocent until proven guilty. With us having it relying on cash bail, it's now becoming you're guilty until you're proven innocent. And that largely marginalizes groups that they know can't afford to pay bail. And then in turn, they lose their jobs, they lose their families, and so on. And that's not right. We also need to provide, I want them to legalize recreational marijuana use, because a lot of people that are in jail is for possession of recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are put in there on mandatory minimum sentences. I'm like, you're carrying less than, like, say you're carrying around like a gram of marijuana, and mm-hmm. you just for having that little bit, you're automatically sentenced to 10 years in prison. You see a white kid rape somebody, and he gets 6 months probation. Then 3 months of that gets commuted. So
that's true.
We need to talk about what the true problem is.
True.
That's right. Absurd. You can have two people commit the exact same crimes, and one person gets a lesser sentence because of the color of their skin. So we need to do a complete overhaul on how our laws are written and executed when it comes to criminal justice. And we also need to find out what are like the main issues of why someone turns to a life of crime in the first place. So we can actually stop the endless cycle that's been going on. Like, say, for example, you go to jail for a possession charge. You get out mm-hmm. and you want to get a job. Well, you've been hit with that felony. When they ask you at a job interview if you've ever been in jail and committed a felony, you have to tell them yes because of that box on the application. Sometimes you don't get that because of you've been in jail, but yet you're trying to start anew. You're trying to get your life back, and you can't. So you have to revert back to how do you provide for yourself if you can't get a job? Well, you got to do something illegal or shady, and that winds you back in jail, and the cycle just ends up continuing. So those things have to get fixed, and we need people that are willing to talk about it and actually try to fix it.
True. That's so true. And to me, they're not doing that. They're not. Nobody wants to talk about it. If you do talk about it, you get blackballed out of the system. And that's one thing that upsets me, just like the wrongful executing these people, and come to find out six, 7 years later that they were innocent. So how do we abide by that? How do we enter their family and say, oh, we're sorry. We're sorry didn't get it. We're sorry that he got executed, but you executed this man. He can never come back. That is what people need to understand. This is real life you're messing with.
Yeah.
Dan, do we got any more people on? Asking Dan, do we have any more people on?
Yeah.
But like I said, man, I agree with the 100% sense you just said, man. It made 100% sense. It did.
Oh, I put feelers out, and nobody's responded, so I guess Mr. Kilgore is hitting all the points, sir.
Okay, that'll work.
We've got about 5.5 minutes left. I do want to ask Mr. Kilgore, do you have any plans for like special needs or special education?
Well, I've been looking into it, and like myself, I'm not a teacher. So when it comes to trying to overhaul our education system, I reached out to teachers, my old high school teachers and middle school teachers, to try to figure out what ways would make their job easier, which a lot of them spoke about how to stop like the standardized tests and actually get more funding into schools and giving schools more resources.
Absolutely.
When it comes to,
like, I've worked elementary school for quite some time, and I've worked special ed in elementary school, and my son is 6 years old with autism. And it's just, I found that kids have to still meet these testing requirements if they are, even if they're special needs, but their IQ isn't low enough, but they still have ADHD, ADD, whatever, and still cannot concentrate on the questions. Also, I'm learning that the language that is being put in these tests that are determining these children's future is not the language that children generally speak. I worry about we are raising a generation of test takers and not teaching for knowledge. And even special needs or gen ed is going to need a certain specific set of skills. And you're teaching them to take tests and not teaching skills. And so I was just wondering if there'll be any kind of steps taken towards teaching for knowledge and not teaching for tests.
Yeah. And that's what I've been trying to work on. Like, since I'm not a teacher myself, it's kind of hard for me to go in and try to say what they do every day. But like with me reaching out to my past teachers and my friends that are teachers to try to find a way that makes things easier. And they all basically unanimous of in the standardized testing, because they're putting so much pressure on these tests that they're not actually able to like teach kids or actually spend the time with each child to help them grow.
Exactly. They keep saying no child is left behind, but that's what's leaving them behind is all these tests.
Yeah, and also their results on their tests affects the school's funding, which is not fair. Like,
exactly.
You're putting so much weight on somebody that has no idea that they have that much weight on them, then you punish them for not succeeding at something that is really hard to fathom to me. Then also you're cutting resources for the teachers that you're expecting to put all this muster in, and also cutting resources for our special needs kids. Like the school system already knows these kids need help. They need assistance. They need guidance. But yet they're putting effort into other stuff instead of them. They're getting the short end of the stick, and that's fair. I had a friend growing up who we found out was autistic, and he did manage to graduate. He graduated, I think, a year after I did, but it was to the point where the school themselves thought it was going to take him longer to graduate. And this was like in the 90s when they found out he had autism, and that was when it was considered like the new like the new disease, and they didn't know like what caused it or what or how it happened. So like they were afraid of what was going to happen to him, but yet he managed to get through school. So we now know a little. We now know more than what we did then, but still, like they don't teach kids how to balance a checkbook. They don't teach kids how to work on their own car. They don't
bring back home ec.
Yeah, we got to bring those things back, and we also got to put more emphasis of like real world knowledge in the classroom instead of when the kids actually get to college, and they're when you're freshman year of college, you're talking about okay, this is how you build credit. Apply for this credit card right now. And kids are like, okay. And then you got trapped into another completely different cycle all in itself.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Kilgore. I just looked up at our clock. We have, like, 19 seconds. Please rattle off your page, please, so everybody can get hold to you because I'm going to share this.
All right. Well, my website is danielkilgoreforohio.com, and that's the word for, F-O-R. Twitter, KilgoreOH15, same for Instagram, and you can also find me on Facebook under Daniel Kilgore for Congress.
All righty. Thank you so much. We appreciate having you. Mr. Bo, sign off.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Jay. Thank you so much, y'all. Much love, everybody. Peace out.